Thank you, Marco. Thank you, brothers and sister, for inviting me to share the word of God with you today. The text we have read is full with many lessons for us. We don't have much time to explain everything, but we can summarize the main idea of the message of today. The text is about the beginning of procreation. It's also about a sacrifice offered by the two brothers. It's also about sin at the door and in the heart of Cain. It's also about the crying blood of Abel. It's about, finally, the verdict pronounced by God on Cain. As we heard, two brothers, Cain and Abel, were the firstborn of Adam and Eve. The two brothers grew up and were involved in two different careers. Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. Both children were the fruit of the blessings bestowed upon Adam and Eve. As you can recall from the narrative of creation, God created Adam and Eve into his own image. He then blessed them to be fruitful, to increase in number, to fill the earth and to subdue it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. According to the account of creation, the procreation was and is still God's work. This means that people without a distinction of race, color, origin, tribe, and languages through Adam and Eve were created by God. The Bible does not tell us about the origin of the different color of our skins. This indicates that all color of skin, you may want to mention, are not described in the creational narrative. The Bible does not also talk about a group of people who were created to be different from others. However, references to people of color are mentioned here and there in the Bible. It is the case we read in the Song of Songs of Solomon, where a woman of a dark skin is loved by King Solomon. It's in Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. We have the case of an Ethiopian mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. And finally, we have also Simon, a black man of Cyrene, who helped to carry the cross of Jesus. Those are the mentioned to the color of our skin, of some color of skin in the Bible. Therefore, wrong concept on the biblical truth take place when we ignore or neglect to accept the truth. Sometimes that wrong concept is developed just to cover up who we are. Sometimes it's just to cover up our sin. People also perpetuate wrong interpretation of the Bible to satisfy sometimes their own ego. According to the Bible, from Genesis chapter 1 and 4, God is the creator of humankind. We have the same Father, the same Savior, the same counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, the same baptism, and all of those who have been pulled to God by the power of the Holy Spirit are living in hope to enter into the kingdom of God, our Father. These two brothers, Cain and Abel, were created by God. Though they had Adam and Eve as the biological parent, all of them in Adam and in Eve were created by God. Since they were created and they were born, they grew up. They grew up, and it was time for them also to apply and worship God in the way it was communicated to them. As you know, during the Mosaic sacrificial system, the accent was not on the sacrifice, but the accent was on the obedience to God from his people. This was the most important element in the sacrificial ceremony. We can read in Exodus 19 from verse 4 through 8. So when the two brothers went to offer sacrifice to the Lord, God was pleased with Abel's offering, but God was not pleased with the sacrifice offered by Cain. Abel did what was right before the Lord, but Cain did not. That was why God was pleased with his sacrifice. To obey God and to do what is right before the Lord is better than offerings and sacrifice. We can read in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. God does take pleasure in the ceremonial worship services, but he takes pleasure in our prayer, in our offering, in our services, in our worship, only when we do it in obedience to his word. This means that when we come before the Lord, God is not looking at our appearance. God is not looking at the way we are. He is looking at our heart. He is looking at the way we obey him. And that is the time he can accept our worship. He can accept our offering, our prayer, our services, and so on. So let us be those who obey God before coming before him. Let us be those who obey God's law before we accept to serve him, before even we prepare our offering, our sacrifice to give him. God is looking to our obedience. Thou Cain and Abel were created by God. Thou we can they brought a sacrifice before God, but there was a problem with Cain. Cain did not do what was right before the Lord. Because he didn't do what was right before the Lord, the sin was at his door. In another term, the sin was in his heart. God himself told him. Since God was not pleased with the sacrifice of Cain, Cain became angry. He became angry because he was dominated by sin. He became angry because sin itself dominated his mind. Sin itself dominated his soul and his heart. So his mind was all the time about sin. He was not a free man. He became a slave of sin in his heart, slave of sin in his heart, and slave of sin in his behavior. That became a problem for Cain. Sin started to control his inner being to the point that he decided to kill his brother Abel. That sin manifested itself in many ways in Cain's life, if you read in details the text. As I said before, he was angry against both God and his brother Abel. When God came and asked him, "Where is your brother?" his response was not a good response. It was a response in anger. "I don't know. Who told you that I'm the keeper of my brother?" So, in anger, he was accusing God because he was already against God. He was in anger against God and against his brother. Even when we read the text, his physical appearance even changed. His face was depressed because of a sin that was controlling his heart, because of a sin that was controlling his behavior and his decision. Cain developed a plan of murder, of murdering his brother out of anger, out of sin. He made a wrong and poor decision to go finally and kill his brother. In anger, even hypocrisy, he invited his brother to escort him to the farm. When they were in the garden, Cain accomplished his plan by killing his brother. He found a time, he found a way to kill and to accomplish his plan. When our mind, our heart, and our thought are constantly dominated by hatred, by anger against our brothers, against our neighbors, we can end up in killing. Remember, killing is not always by taking a gun and shoot somebody. Killing is not always to come physically, put somebody down and kill. According to the Bible, even when we hate in our heart, we always already committed that sin. So this means this sin is not only about those who are going to prison because they killed. This sin is not only about what has been going on these days. All of us, we are dominated by this sin in our heart. That sin is at our door. That sin is in our heart. And it's why there is no love between us. It's why we don't love one another. It's why we don't obey God. It's why we make a bad decision. It's why there is a gossipy. It's why everything bad against my neighbor can be in my plan. God told his people that they shall not kill. We read in the commandment, among the Ten Commandments today, in Exodus 20, verse 13. We know that. We have heard about that. And we are invited to live that. Cain knew, he knew that. But he decided to kill his brother. Cain killed because of his sin was constantly at his door. Dear brothers and sisters, if we live and experience what is going on around us today, which started by the killing of George Floyd, for example, it's because of a sin of segregation, the sin of racism, have been at our door for a long time. It's because of the sin of hatred. It's because of the culture we have developed of looking down on others. Those sins have been at our doors from generation to generation. Can you imagine the time from slavery to the abolition period, and from there to the time of freedom today? It's a long time already. It's a long time. We don't need to keep talking about that today. But it happened because we still live in this sinful nature. Because the sin is still controlling our mind, controlling our relationship, controlling who we are. And it's why today we can talk about things like that. Thank God, because it's not everybody. There is always the remnant. There is always a group of people obedient to God. Thank God for that group. And that group, we are invited by God to be on His side, to speak the truth, to teach the Bible, and to live it as an example, to be the light in the darkness. The sin is crouching at our door. What are we going to do with it? Even God used some strong term in His dialogue with Cain. He told Cain about the crying blood of Abel. The blood of Abel was crying out from the ground to the Lord. It's because Cain wanted to hide the murder committed. He didn't want to talk about it. He wanted to keep it silent on his brutal behavior, which was the killing of his brother. But the Lord came to denounce it, because there was nobody to speak about it. There was nobody who can come and rebuke Cain from what he did. Since no sin can be hidden before the Lord, He came and confronted Cain about his wrongdoing. The Lord revealed his wrongdoing and confronted him about it. God rebuked him and asked him to rule over his problem. God asked him to dominate it, to overcome it. Cain, you don't need to stay like that, man. You need to overcome it. You need to work on it. You need to pay attention to it. God is calling us today through this text to overcome our old sin, to overcome what is dividing us, to overcome what is causing hatred, to overcome what is causing division, to overcome anything in our life which does not please God, in our relationship with one another, and also in our relationship with God. It's not easy, but we need God. With Him, we will do it. The blood of innocent people will always be crying out from a grave to the Lord until we confess the sin and ask for forgiveness. Where is your brother? Why did you kill him? Why did you do that? That is the voice of the Lord talking to His own child. We are God's people. I'm not saying everybody in this country belong to God. But God has his chosen people in this country. And he's speaking to us during a hard time like this. During a difficult time like this, he's speaking to us. We need to raise up. We need to rise. We need to stand and tell God, here we are. Use us. He will use us to speak against sin, the sin which is lying at our doors. He will use some of us to speak louder about what is dividing us. Silence is not the solution. God could kept, he could stay silent about this killing, but he did not. He denounced it. Let us denounce the evil. Let us speak about it in the light of the revealed word, in the light of God's word. Let us speak about it. If we don't speak about it, it will look like we agree with that sin. It will look like we are looking to cover up that sin. No, the Lord wants us to denounce it. We will not denounce it in force, in physical force. We will not denounce it in anger. We will not denounce it in revenge. We will denounce it with the word of God and in love. Standing only on the truth, teaching only the truth, believing only the truth. God has come down already. He is no longer far away from us. He is with us. He is right here. He is looking at us. He is looking at our heart. And he is asking us to pay attention to that sin which is in our heart, which is at our doors, and rule over it. This means God is calling us to confess, to seek repentance, to seek forgiveness, so he can come and cleanse our heart. And this will be done only if we obey his word. The Bible is teaching us about what needs to be done in order to please God. It's why to have a Bible in our hands, or to have a Bible in our house, or to quote the Bible, it's not enough. Even to claim who we are evangelicals, we are reformed, we are so and so, it's not enough. We need to live it. We need to apply what we teach. We need to apply what we read, and we need to please God. If we do that, the word of God will have a power in our life. If we do that, the word of God will shape our behavior. If we do that, the word of God will shape our relationship, and the word of God will make all of us new creation. Thank you, brother, for reading that text. We will become a new creation if we obey to the word of God. And becoming a new creation means that we are no longer who we were a long time ago in sin. We have a new heart, new creation. We have a new way of living. That's a new creation. We have a new home. That's a new creation, which is the kingdom of God. We have a new family, which is God's people, church family. We have a new family. My family is no longer again those of my clan, those of my tribe, those of my country, those of my color, those of my, and so on. In Jesus, we become one new creation. May the old be gone, and may new come and dominate us. As the new comes to dominate us, we will please God, and God will be pleased about our life. Our God is the God of justice. He is the righteous God. He came finally and pronounced a verdict, punishment on Cain for what he did. When the verdict was pronounced against Cain, it was difficult for him to hear that. But the justice was done. Cain was punished. This means no sin will remain without punishment. But if we confess it, if we repent from our sin, God is ready to forgive and to forget. But when we don't confess it, and when we don't dominate it, when we don't overcome it, punishment is coming. God does not want anybody to die in sin. But when we do not seek the cleansing of our heart and the change, God will pronounce a verdict. We read in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. My brothers and sisters, God is ready to heal our land if we obey Him, if we confess, if we seek cleansing. We are all sinners. That's why God is calling upon each of us to come back to Him, which is also come back to His Word. Apply it. Sin is at the door of our nation. The mistake we have done in the past, it has caused us to have a sin at our door. But it's not too late yet. This is the time God is giving us to come back to Him and seek repentance. And when that will be done, it will be a full reconciliation between all kind of people living in this country. It will be full love between all of us living in this country. And we will not go through again movement as what we have seen this past 2 weeks in our country. It didn't honor God, both sides. Here, it's not a message just for those group of people. It's a message for all of us. This message has application for all of us. Let me even talk about the context of African context. I'm from Congo. I'm an African. You have heard about tribalism in Africa. You have even heard about genocide in Rwanda, which is an example before all of us. Just two tribes speaking the same language, living in the same country, turning to each other. Because one group is a group of farmers, and another group is a group they can call a shepherd, like a Cain. And it causes conflict, killing, mass killing. This means this is sin. It's not only here, it's there, it's here, it's all over. But God is calling us just to overcome it. We can dominate it. We can't dominate it by our own force, by our own skills, by our own ability. We can dominate it if we surrender our heart to Jesus. We can dominate it if we come to God and humble ourselves before Him and ask Him to forgive us. We can dominate it only when we are dominated by the rule of Christ, when we are dominated by the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit is leading us, is guiding us, that is the time we can say we'll dominate it. One person who had the power to dominate that sin, to crash on that sin, is Jesus, the Son of God, died on the cross. He brought on Himself our sins. After a few days, God raised Him from death. That was the victory on the power of sin. As God's people, the sin has no power on us again. As God's children, sin cannot stay at our door, cannot stay in our heart. God is giving us time, possibility to get rid of it by just saying, God, here I am, the sinner, forgive me. Forgive me. May God help us to surrender our heart to Jesus, to surrender our life to God, to surrender our relationship in this country to God, to pray for cleansing, and to ask God to make us His people, people obeying His word, and people living according to His will. May God bless His word in our heart. Amen.